Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and today we're talking all things sleepers. Those players you're happy just to let slide for a few rounds in your draft that maybe some other people in your league might not be too keen on. And you can just pounce up hoping they return that awesome value that you're expecting them to do. And we're also talking all things sporting events. We're drafting sporting events today. Haven't been clarified if it's just the event or a particular moment in time, so I'll be see what sort of shenanigans Steve will come up with.
You can't. There's no historical events. You can't like go back in time to Rumble in the Jungle or anything like that. That's not on the table.
I wasn't too sure when we were talking about. That's fine. I haven't got Rumble in the Jungle or anything like that. It's just like a boxing match, so that's fine.
And I'd go to Malice in the Palace. That'd be the one to go to.
Please explain.
There's like 10 seconds left in the game. I just remember that when the Pistons were playing the Pacers and someone fouled, Ron Artest fouled like Ben Wallace right at the end of the game, like really hard from behind. And there was an, you know, on-court brawl sort of thing. Ron Artest went and laid down on the scorer's table. Someone from the crowd threw a beer on him. and the players and crowd went at it.
Nice.
And it's great watching regular people try to fight these superhuman athletes.
Was this when Detroit were the bad boys?
No. This is when they won the title in like, a year before they won the title, I think.
Okay.
Like 2004, so
getting the bad boys together sort of thing. Interesting. And we welcome the freshly minted glasses of Cam McLaughlin. Welcome to you.
Hey, man. I'm disappointed that we're not going back in time to see sporting events because I definitely would have gone back to the Sunday that's just gone and gone to Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., a.k.a. the marijuana fest that was Snoop Dogg on commentary providing some absolutely brilliant quips like, these two are like my old grandpas fighting at the barbecue and just every now and then saying, oh, shit. It's like, brilliant.
Yeah, that's a good little cash grab if you can get it. 50-year-old Iron Mike just smoking a whole joint before fighting, and just to so I reckon he did that to calm his anger so he didn't bite his head off, the other guy's head off. I think that would
he sounded like an animal in the ring though. Like he just sounded like he was constantly grunting and stuff. It was fucking weird, man. It was fucking you know, like AFL, remember earlier in the year we were like, yeah, AFL without crowds is gonna be super weird. Turns out 50-year-old men boxing without a crowd is really fucking weird.
I forgot all about that.
Glad. It sounds, if he's just grunting, that just sounds like Jono putting away a zinger box.
It was uncanny. Uncanny, the resemblance.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that has been shown live on Facebook.
Yes. Yes.
More nuggets.
More nugs, yes. All the nugs, please. All right, let's get into it. We are talking sleepers. Those guys we're happy to let slide into the later rounds and hopefully get onto their potential of what they're going to kick on for the following season. And Cam, why don't you kick us off with your first sleeper?
I think there's tremendous opportunity for defensive sleepers in 2021 sort of across the board, especially for mine at GWS and North Melbourne, because both of those teams have essentially chopped half of their starting defensive line and really haven't replaced it with anything. Like, you can probably expect some defensive picks to go in the draft, but it's not the kind of people that you'd want to be starting at AFL level straight away. So because I have absolutely no confidence picking anyone from the Kangaroos in 2021, both of my sleepers are actually from GWS. And the first one is the 71st best midfielder in the competition on average, and it's more from an AFL fantasy perspective than it is from a Supercoach perspective, but it is one Harry Perryman. He came out of the season with an average of 70.1 in AFL fantasy and a pretty healthy 94 in Supercoach. So again, more for your AFL fantasy than anything else. And given the delistings and all that, he probably ends up somewhere between the 60th and 65th best midfielder on average going into 2021. So in most 10-team leagues, he'll probably go off the table at some point in your draft. The reason I have a little bit of hype and why I think he's a little bit of a sleeper is I think that he's far more valuable than what he's presenting as a midfielder next year. They've had Zach Williams, Aiden Corr, and Heath Shaw leave the team. And as I said before, they haven't really replaced those people. I think Isaac Cumming will be the Aiden Corr replacement. He'll take the majority of the kick-ins. He'll be that switch player. They'd sort of tagged him for that a couple of years before. I think Lachlan Ash will definitely become more prominent and fill one of the roles. And I can see I can then see GWS shifting Harry Perryman back to defence to give them a bit more experience back there in a role that he's familiar with. He's averaged okay there before with, I think in his third year when he was playing that role, he averaged 75 in AFL Fantasy and similar in Supercoach. But he's definitely developed as a player through this year playing in the midfield. So I think that he can probably take a lot of those talents back to defensive line. He'll probably start as a midfield only candidate as well. I doubt he'll have a dual position. I mean, there was a chance that he'd have a forward status because remember he was leading the Coleman at one point in the crazy year that was 2020. But I'd say he goes into next year with a midfield only tag. But come round three or six, you know, there's a real potential that he ends up with that dual position status. And at worst, you have a midfielder who's, you know, totally fieldable at the average that he's at. So it's sort of a super low risk sleeper.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what
you don't. No,
it just feels like he's not a sleeper. You're talking about someone who's led the Coleman,
and you said he's 17 midfielder, so that's obviously going to get drafted.
Yeah, but he gets drafted. What I'm suggesting is, I think he'll end up
getting drafted though.
So I think he'll be drafted late, but I think the upside is so significant, and that's why he's a sleeper. I think he can be if we go back to normal scoring, an 80s averaging defender, which is far more valuable than a 60th best mid.
I don't mind the pick. I think it's a solid pick, but so you're banking on, number one, the position change has to happen.
Yep.
And I'd almost say you probably need Whitfield to like get injured or move out to the wing, because all those three players you named, they were shit. Like, they weren't great.
Zach Williams,
he was fine, more than amazing.
I think
Zach Williams is a super coach player, not a fantasy player.
Yeah, I think there's a world where, I mean, it's not like one person going out automatically gets the score of someone coming in, right? Or the other way around, I mean. But
No. That's fine. Yeah. Well, I think it's a great pick.
Yeah.
But, you know, things have to happen. But that's what happens with sleepers. Things have to happen for
it. That's right. You've got to have a narrative.
Steve, what's your first sleeper, please?
So my first pick, look, hidden player, very unknown, former number one pick, Cam Rayner. Now,
has he led the Coleman? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. He doesn't.
Maybe
doesn't
in the kneeful.
No, he doesn't do that much. So again, someone who's developing as a player, coming into their fourth season, he's been relatively healthy, which is always a good thing. And I think the knock on him, much like Petrarca when he was coming into the league, was that he was going to take time to develop, build a tank, all those sort of things. Petrarca obviously had the ACL. Rayner hasn't had any of those worries. I don't mind Rayner. He has a number of ways he scores, getting the contested ball, laying tackles, kicking goals. The one thing he doesn't do particularly well is find the ball in space. It's not really his game. He'll have the forward status. That's where I try to hunt for bargains, is at the forward status. Punt the forwards early, find them late, hope for a Simkin-like breakout. Again, you're looking at a midfield that has, I mean, they're not old by any stretch. Like, Lyons isn't 30 yet. So my hope is that Zorko slides a bit more forward. Rayner moves a little bit more into the middle. Joe Danaher's gone into that team. Hopefully that sort of pushes can push someone like Rayner out a little bit more. So I just think there's a lot of upside. And you're talking about someone who is a highly talented youngster in a really good team. So that's where I'm looking at it. I just think it's a player development more than the usual thing where I like to look for someone who's got an opportunity, like Adam Truelove, one of the leading CBA players, yeah, Braden Sy sort of thing.
I think it's really interesting from... It's going to be one of those things that, like with Petrarca this year, you kind of saw it coming from the preseason. So it's there'll be in whatever the preseason comp looks like next year, if he's mid-time and his score is looking really good, the hype train is going to be massive, I think.
Well, I think it's a hard team to do that. Like, because they got like the reigning Brownlow medalist now. Jared Lyons obviously playing some great footy up in Brisbane. So they've still got McCluggage. They've still got Berry.
Mm.
You know, they've got a lot of talent around.
Cam Ellis-Yolman.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like there'll be a Neil regression. There should be opportunity.
Do you see... I know you're looking at Rayner's potentially inside mid, but do you see him maybe taking the Mitch Robinson role as maybe a bit of a wing?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't put someone with no tank out on a wing.
Yeah, part of that development, maybe as a way,
I find that a hard sell. He'd be forward or
forward or inside
getting his runs through the middle. I don't think he'd be a perma mid stretch, but. No. I just need the opportunity to increase. Maybe gets a little bit... Well, maybe he already doesn't have much attention anyway, but if Joe Danaher could get on the park, that couldn't be a bad thing.
Fair enough. Right, speaking of someone we've never even heard of, that is Lachie Young from the Bulldogs. I think a couple of weeks ago I said his name was Lewis Young. There is actually a Lewis Young on the Bulldogs list, and I was getting my wires crossed there. And Lewis Young you will never see, but Lachie Young, starved of opportunity at the Bulldogs. He played about 8 or 9 games throughout his 2 years there as that marking interceptor. But when you've guys got like Easton Wood and Alex Keith coming in to take his spots, he's not really going to get much of a fist. So he's gone over to North Melbourne now. They punted, as Cam said, pretty much their whole defence, and they've rebuilt it with... they've got Robbie Tarrant and Ben McKay still, but they've brought in Aiden Corr, who's probably going to stay as more of a lockdown defender as well. And Lachie Young, who is that main interceptor. His fantasy scores have been pretty pus, as I said, without the opportunity, but his score build looks pretty good. His time at the Bulldogs, he averaged 11 possessions, 4 marks, 2 tackles a game. So if he's getting more game time, more opportunity, there's a good way that he can build up into something of an 85 averaging defender if he's taking, say, what, a Sicily type 5 or 6 marks a game and then build on that. Then there's lots of super coach points there, especially if they are intercepting. And maybe a Jordan Ridley type. I actually see more of Ridley type. He gets you 15 to 18 disposals, but takes a crap load of marks. So I'm looking at Lachie Young, and no one will be looking at him next year because his average was absolute pus and only played the 2 games in 2020.
The definition of a sleeper.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Cam. Not your bloody shit of fucking... What? Didn't you put...
Here's someone we've all rostered for the last 2 years.
Yikes.
You know, well, Robbie Tarrant was second in the league for rebound 50s?
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be him and Tarrant what's his name? McDonald next year. They're going to be...
Don't forget Josh Walker, right? So he actually was pretty good as an intercept defender this year. He is about 1 billion years old, though. But
he could be pushing forward because who's the key target in that forward line at North Melbourne now?
The kid. What's his name? The young guy. Larky.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What?
He is.
Yeah, I know. But it's just... I do not envy old mate's job going in there to try and turn things around. That's
David Noble.
That's tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Give us your second sleeper, please.
Is it time for... Well, first of all, it's this time of the year where this guy gets a run on the pod pretty much, you know, every year. And given that Statesman is not here, I thought I would fill in for him and say Isaac coming as a sleeper. Is he finally coming? Isaac's been on Stato's lips for years, and I realize that coming and Stato's lips in a sentence is not a great way to start this sleeper. But even still, a lot of hype has been behind him going into this year, with the assumption that he'd be graced with kick-in duties going at the Giants, as they see him as the logical Heath Shaw replacement. But then, out of absolutely nowhere, 27-year-old Aiden Corr started taking kick-in duties and playing in the first team. Isaac Cumming scored poorly in his first two games. He only played three games of the year. Scored poorly in his first two games as a result of, you know, not getting that juicy role. But what excites me is that when he came back in round 18, he produced a really fantasy-friendly game of 67 AFL fantasy points and 97 Supercoach without Aiden Corr in the side. So he was playing that sweet, juicy role that you can probably expect him to play next year. He's relatively well hidden from your average punter. He's going to be sitting at 47 AFL fantasy points on average and 67 in Supercoach. The concern with him, obviously, is injury history, having managed just the 10 games total in his three seasons. But coming into his fourth year, it seems like he's got probably all the opportunity to at least have a crack at that top flight.
Yeah, look, there is opportunity there at GWS, isn't there? So they've had a few people leave. There's opportunity, and certainly I think Cumming and who was the one you said earlier?
Lachlan Ash.
Yeah, they're the ones that are probably going to be the front runners to get that first crack, you would think. I'd be willing to take a punt on Cumming. I think I streamed him a couple of times this year and scored all right for me, so I'd be pretty happy to take a punt on him late in my draft this year.
Yeah, I think he's...
I think the fence sit here from Cam is the big big disappointment. I've taken two blokes who are both going to score... No, they can't both score well.
So oh, they absolutely can.
No, they can't. No.
I smell an over-under bet coming along.
That's possibly the thing.
Name six defenders at GWS.
But they don't all fucking score well. How well did Aiden Corr score?
Yeah, but Aiden Corr shit.
Well, the guy who just signed a four-year mega deal.
At the Ruse. They also signed Polek for $900,000.
It's a war chest.
It's a something.
I think if you're suggesting to take one of these two guys, that's fine. But I think you can't draft both of them, like, really.
Oh, it's just two potential sleepers, right?
Yeah, I know. But it just feels like a massive puss out.
Oh! Former number one draft pick, Cam Rayner.
Yeah, but he can fucking do it. Like, if you had to just said one of them and then said, oh, I don't know, who, Jordan Clark, then I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's all right. But you've taken two guys to fill one spot.
Well, if I took a cat, I'd be crucified. There's no way I'm on a no cats policy for 2021. None.
Jono's just rolled out an ex bulldog straight off the bat. Like that's
my brand. I think this is your brand.
We have a brand.
I love the ex bulldog. So I don't know if you guys saw, but the article today on AFL website was like things that clubs need going into next year, and it was like the Bulldogs need a second tall defender. See you later, Lewis Young. What's his name?
Lucky Young. Okay, well, they just delisted Trengove, so what the fuck?
Yeah, well, see you later.
Now we got two.
If I was to pick between the two, I'd prefer Isaac Cumming is a better sleeper.
Because he is a sleeper.
Steve, give us your second sleeper.
So I've got what is going on? There's getting these weird notifications on the computer. So there's not much analysis behind this one other than Luke Jackson will be listed as a forward and he'll get some ruck time. And if Max Gawn gets injured, not that I hope he does, pants off. Also, I kind of wonder if he'll get to push up the ground. Like the idea of Luke Jackson is that he can, you know, he's very athletic, can run through the midfield, run along the wings, yada, yada, yada. Maybe more Justin Westhoff to him than a key forward or whatever. Has more strings to his bow, maybe more like your... actually, the Pride. The Pride was down playing golf. No big deal. Not I'm a name dropper. Playing golf on the course on Saturday. You love to see it. Yes, Johnny?
Well, actually, speaking of Luke Jackson, if you want some analysis, I actually got to see him play live before the virus hit in a practice match against the Crows, and that's exactly how he played. He was playing just in front of old balls Tom McDonald and was pushing up the ground to, say, the centre square and then running back as well. Able to take a good leap. Did some time in the ruck as well. So I think you're right that he will be playing a bit of a Justin Westhoff roaming role. So I don't mind it.
Yeah, I think they've brought in Ben Brown, possibly an upgrade over the ghost of Tom McDonald and the idea of Sam Wiedemann.
Yeah, no, I don't mind it as a pick.
Again, things have to go right for that to work, because otherwise he's just a jobber scoring 55 on your bench.
If he plays.
He'll play. He'll 100% play.
You reckon?
Yeah, fucking oath.
All right, my final sleeper is Jarman Impey from Hawthorn. Remember that fellow who actually tore it up for about 8 weeks in 2019 before tearing his ACL? Now, he was absolutely braining it in about that. It was about an 8 week period where he was scoring mid to low 90s and even a couple of super fantasy tons in both formats as well, sprinkled in there. He was the guy that Sicily was kicking to and he was running off the half back to. People will be looking at Day and Scrimshaw this year as they'll be the interceptors, but Day and Scrimshaw will be the ones looking to handball it off to Jarman Impey, who did play half a dozen games this year to not much impact. So his average is going to be buried down there. He was only averaging about 40 or 50 in both formats in the 6 games he played. If he does get that halfback role again, now that he'll get a bit of another preseason under his belt, he's someone who can score in the 90s, as we've seen him do before in that 2019 period. And with pace to burn, and I think they'll be looking to get the ball in his hands, he's someone I'll be looking at late in my draft in 2021.
Yeah, I like it.
See, Cam, that's two sleepers right there. Definition of sleepers.
There's two sleepers right there, if I can fall asleep while you're talking, mate. Jarman Impey, I feel like, is not... I think it's a terrible pick, actually.
Why, Stone Cold, why?
Well, I just don't see how his score improves, to be honest.
What, so they're dishing him the ball and he's rebounding out of defensive 50?
I don't think I'd buy that, though. I don't think it'll be him.
Push him on a wing, use that speed where Isaac Smith's going as well?
Nope, Tom Phillips.
It's two wings. Who's the other wingman?
Tom Scully.
Oh, fuck off.
I think he's going to be a mid-60s scorer.
And I believe you'll be wrong, I reckon.
Oh, man, I can smell... This is why I love the preseason, because I can smell over-unders bets.
Cartons cams?
Not really. It's pretty early for a bet, but, man.
We'll just black book that one. We'll come to preseason.
Mark it down.
Okay, we'll do that.
Saying he's more broad bent than a breakout?
I would suggest that.
Maybe that should be a show, broad bent or breakout.
Well, instead of face off, there's the name of it. Instead of fantasy face off. Yeah. All right.
Patent pending.
The sleepers. We are now going to get into our freedom drafts, where we're doing sporting events throughout the world, not throughout history. We've got the number generator here.
Not throughout history.
Cam, you are pick one. Steve, you are pick three. And I'm pick two. So fuck it up, Cam.
I really did not want number one, but I'm just going to go super vanilla and take... I think I'll take the Super Bowl.
Steve won't take that.
You know what you want to go. You know you want it.
I know I want it, and I'll get it, because I don't think Steve will take it.
Steve will take it. On the wrap, he's taken it at two. It's value at two.
NBA Finals, I'll take.
Look at Steve. Look how happy he is that he's got the World Series followed by WrestleMania.
No, I got the Soccer World Cup Final.
Oh, okay. What? That's not you?
No, he's playing to the crowd.
Fucking goddamn right.
That's what I thought would get back to me, because there's no way Steve's picking soccer.
I've got two soccer events on here, and yeah. I hate soccer. Soccer's shit.
I've got three.
Go to the World Cup final.
I've got three.
And I'll obviously back it up with WrestleMania.
There you go. It was never making it back. It's value at two.
No.
Surprised the Soccer World Cup made it. I would have taken it one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I'm going to take the Champions League final.
Oh, motherfuck!
Yeah, I knew you were looking at that. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's the better. I reckon that's better than the World Cup final.
Get fucked.
It totally is. Like, World Cup final, you've got... Like, I would support multiple, you know, like Barcelona, Liverpool, Borussia Dortmund, so many different teams in the Champions League final. One in the World Cup final.
One team.
You support Australia.
Only go for one in the Champions League final. Who would you go? Real Madrid, every time.
Wow.
Give me the money bags.
All them bandwagons.
Buy everyone.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to then take... Yeah, I think I'll take the World Series, actually. And I'm going to follow that up with, this might be a little bit vanilla, but for a Brisbane boy, very unlikely, I'll take the AFL Grand Final.
Oh, not even on the list, dude. That's how vanilla it is.
I didn't have it
on the list. I'm keen, man. Have you guys been?
No.
No.
No interest.
I'd like to go, but
Anzac Day,
it's like,
fine.
It's like any sporting event in the world. You live in Australia, you can go to this, and you pick the AFL Grand Final.
Man, it's really hard to get tickets.
You know what I think's a loser pick is anything where it's like a best of seven, or like, you know, it's a one day event. I reckon that's
better.
Although that being said, I've got a long one on the list, but
you do have a tournament there, Steve. Oh no, you picked the final.
It's a final.
You picked the final. It's pick the final. All right, you picked the final.
Can't go past the Masters at Augusta.
The Masters at Augusta.
Mm-hmm. I had two golf in there, but I think Augusta would be better.
Oh, no, dude. No, the Ryder Cup is clearly the superior.
Where's that played at? I thought that was all over the joint.
Yeah, it is. It alternates. But have you seen it? People are going absolutely ham.
Oh, yeah. It's the magic of the Masters for me. Don't care. Okay.
And I will finish that off with... give me a sport where you can die. Take the running of the Bulls.
Yeah, that was on my list. All right, my final one is pretty plain Jane, but Monaco GP.
Oh, it's the worst race of all time. Nothing happens.
Mate, I want to be sitting on a boat drinking $65 beers while the fucking $100 million car is racing past me that I cannot see. That's the dream.
Vroom. Oh.
Yeah. Have you been to a Formula One?
That's as far.
That's exactly what it's like. It's just like, oh, red car. I think that was a Ferrari. Awesome.
Did you see that crash, by the way? Holy shit.
I did.
Holy shit. Okay,
I'll send a meme in the group chat later on that you'll piss yourself laughing.
It can't be good if it's about that crash.
No, it is, but it's funny.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to finish off. I've probably tanked it already, but I'm really keen on going to... I'll just go a soccer event, actually. I'll go the Merseyside Derby at Anfield. Is that too long for Twitter?
Why don't you take El Clasico?
No, I'd prefer to go to this.
Because you're a Liverpool fan. And Liverpool.
Correct.
Merseyside Derby. You know the best part about this draft is the Olympics got through.
Yeah, because good. It's
which
shit.
Which just highlights good. How shit the Olympics is.
Olympics is awful. I went to...
Even the Tour de France. Thank yeah. God they got through too.
Did you guys go to Sydney? Did you go to Sydney for the Olympics?
I went one better. I went to the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne.
We went to Barcelona.
Oh, nice. That's nice. Cool.
Have also walked the Monaco Grand Prix track.
I have been to the Triple Crown Surf Contest in Hawaii.
Oh, that was on my list.
And I've also done Yankees Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. That was cool.
They were on your list?
They were two on my list, but that I've actually done.
Ah.
Wait, you'd go back and do it again?
Triple Crown Surfing was unreal. Like, waves are five times the size of a house. Yeah. Like, fucking unreal.
I had it on there. I was tossing up between specifically the Pipe Masters and the...
And when there's about 500 coppers out the front of Yankee Stadium with automatic weapons to break up fights and that. Brilliant.
Pretty surprised no one picked like a heavyweight fight at Madison Square Garden or something like that.
But the fighters are shit these days.
Oh yeah, I'd still go to a heavyweight boxing match.
Yeah.
It'd be sick.
Tyson and Jones.
I actually had State of Origin. I'd love to go to State of Origin.
Okay.
You had that over the AFL Grand Final?
Because I don't... Who cares?
I've been in Queensland when State of Origin was on. I couldn't get tickets to the game, but went to the pub drinking. Fucking unreal.
I just think the atmosphere is better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, parochial, bloody all that sort of stuff. And I had the hot dog eating contest.
Ah, I've been. That's the one that I've been to. Coney Island.
I've been to Coney Island. I've eaten a Nathan's hot dog, which was terrible, mind you.
Yeah.
But
42 of them, though. I think it starts to go down a little bit better.
God, that'd come out like liquid, that shit.
Yeah.
Would you like to have done St. Andrews? I wouldn't mind doing St. Andrews.
The golf course?
Mm.
Like, oh, fuck yeah.
For the Open or something like that.
Yeah. Consideration. Absolutely. Yeah.
No, there was no interest in Stanley Cup.
No,
ice hockey. No,
I have
darts.
Interest in best of seven stuff.
I'm surprised you didn't go with snooker.
Who's going to vote for it?
Yeah,
man, you are such a sellout.
I am.
He's learned from statement.
I love winning. Although I don't think I'll win this. What are our teams? We got Cam's got Super Bowl, World Series, AFL Grand Final. I reckon you had this until that. I don't know what that last pick is. You still might have it. Jono's got NBA Finals, Champions League Final, Masters, Monaco Grand Prix. It seems like strong too. I think I'll lose this. We got soccer, WrestleMania, Ryder Cup, running with the Bulls. That's last.
See, people love NBA.
that's getting gored in running with the Bulls.
Yeah.
I had running with the Bulls on my list as well. I mean, it's not correct these days, but it's still something I want to do.
Yeah.
Because I met someone who actually did it, and they basically get on the piss for 3 days straight, and then it's like, they're sleeping in like a little tent, it's like still drunk, it's like, get up, you're running. So everyone's drunk when they run the Bulls. It's unreal.
That's crazy.
Absolutely.
All right. And no one voted for Dota 2 International.
What?
Move on.
I know it's a video game. Esports. Gadget type operators.
Yep.
You should see the old people's on the golf course face when I say that video games will be the only sport left in 20 years. It's just like, you're out of your mind.
Well, some of them are actually getting paid more than AFL stars. Like, some of them are like $10 million a year. Like,
oh, dude. So the last Dota 2 International, the prize pool for first place, which is a team of five people, right? So it's split. But it was like $35 million. Yeah. That's one tournament. It's crazy.
There won't be sports in the future. It'll be all computer games.
Well, it's like League, League of Legends. Like in South Korea, one year they had 200,000 people just on a beach to watch a tournament.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's how big it is. It's crazy. All right, that is going to wrap up the show for this week. If you've got any questions, queries, or anything, hit us up on the socials on Twitter and Facebook. Just search the Draft Doctors there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Wow. 4G, more reliable than my actual internet.